On page 515, 516. In the Hebrew, it's ach gamzos, the big word over there. And in the English, it's indeed. We have also found and noted. We are talking about frequency versus grandiosity. And is it better to give one large gift of tzedakah at the end of the year? Mm-hmm. Or several payments so that by the time that you have come to the end of the year, you've given that same amount. Uh-huh. He's not discussing over here, because obviously the best thing would be to give one large amount at the beginning of the year. Uh-huh. That would be the best thing. Okay, because that way you don't have any cash flow problems. But like this, if you're going to have all of your donations come at the end of the year, so what you're going to be doing is borrowing and then spend the rest of the time paying it back. This is what the problem was with Kehillat Chabad. So he says that the idea here is the introduction of Zerizus. We had this in chapter 5, where he talked about tzedakah being like a coat of mail, and that each little bit adds up to have a whole protection over there. So that was all discussed over there. And here he's going to elaborate further. The letters from here on in to the end of, the last letter is 32, are pretty much easy letters. So, I guess the compilers, who are the Rebbe's sons, figured that after chapter 20, we'll give you a break.
Give you a break, yeah.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Okay. Ach gamzois matzanu ra'ina ba'avodas tzedakah. But this now we see with, we talked about the Aveda of Tzedakah. You may recall that there was a letter that talked about the difference of Aveda of Tzedakah and Maisa of Tzedakah. Mm. Okay? And Aveda means that it has to be toil involved, there has to be work. Okay, Maisa is just an action. Okay, you give a guy a quarter, that's a Maisa of Tzedakah. Aveda of Tzedakah means that there has to be pre-thought involved and intention, and it has to be involved, maybe perhaps an inner struggle if that's what it takes to give it. I mean, so then it becomes something that the person is working on themselves. Myla presses gedel and flaws ainor elalihiyos maisa hastakinasis pamim rabbis. So he says, so how does it, you turn avoda? He says, for example, the easy way to do that is you do the maisa tzedakah many times. Hmm. Okay, if every time you see a poor person, you give them a quarter, over the course of a year, it's going to be a lot of money. Whereas if you just wrote the check out for that amount, you probably wouldn't do it. So, harizeh pavim rahabas, kol hamarba harizeh meshubach. Says, and the more you give, the more praiseworthy you are. And not just to give it all at one time, all at once, at the end of the year. So his encouragement, so even though there was a discussion up till now, so now he's giving the conclusion that indeed the best thing to do is to give early and often. Mm. So that eventually you give the desired pledge. With this, you get the added amount, the added dimension in the performance of the mitzvahs, which he talked about last time, of zerizus. Mm-hmm. Zerizus meaning alacrity in performance of the mitzvah. Because like this, it's not that the guy's waiting to give the tzedakah, which would happen, he's like, I pledged $1,000. So I'm going to wait until I get $1,000, I'll give it all at once. So that would be, if anybody did that, I'd be happy with it, that's fine. You know, but it makes life easier if it comes in at $100 a month.
Oh, yeah, exactly.
Okay, so that way you also have the idea of zerizus, of doing it with alacrity, like every mitzvah should be done with alacrity. Mm. Now, whether it can be, there's a argument as far as with alacrity versus b'roiv am, like in reference to a bris. Is it better to do a bris early in the morning because it's the earliest time you could do it? Uh-huh. Or is it better to do it late in the afternoon? Everybody's off from work and you have more people. Uh-huh. And the answer to the question is yes.
Indeed. Yeah.
So the
particularly painful for the child if they make the brisket last all that long.
Okay. You know, so but the best is a Sunday morning when everybody's off from work. You can get a lacquer the end, right?
Yeah, you can't pick the eighth day.
No, you can't. So I did know a male that he had other jobs and he didn't work on Sundays. So he would just say, oh, the kid's too yellow, and he just did a bris on Sunday. So, but once he said the kid was yellow, you know, so.
Sauce the face of Sean. If he's not yellow, he's, they didn't.
What can I tell you? It's up to him to decide. It just seemed very unusual to me that most of the brises that this guy did, when I know him, were on Sunday. When he wasn't working.
Yes.
Elsewhere.
Yes.
So. So, but anyway, so you have the there is something to this idea of zerizas. It talks about all over the place. You have there's a Polish word that don't make your altich mitzvahs of matzahs. Don't let your matzahs become chametz. Which shows like don't let your mitzvahs become chametz. You have the opportunity to do it. So if you got a spare $100, give it away, even though you owe 900 more. So now guess what? You only owe 900 instead of 1,000.
Right.
So that makes life easier for you, because now it's just, I don't owe $1,000 anymore. Woo.
Right.
Okay, so they say that there's a rabbinic joke as to why the Gemara starts on page 2. It's because you're already, when you're starting, you go, wow, I'm ripped to page 2 already. You know, so it's not, I'm like stuck on page 1. I'm on page 2 already.
Yeah. If you missed the beginning, they're on page 3, and you're like, they're on page 3.
Yeah, exactly.
All behind that document.
V'gam ki chesed hakel echad hu, hasach hakel echad hu, even though that the resultant amount of money is going to be the same in either case. Because of a Rambam zal beferish ha-mishnah, sheshina chachamim zal v'hakol lefi reiv ha-maista. And the Rambam, in his Pirush HaMishnayis, in his explanation, his commentary on the Mishnah, learns this according to the way the Chachamim learn it, and everything goes according to the great number of deeds. Yeah. So this is the more that you're doing, the more that's getting accomplished. Okay, so that's the general principle. I was going to question this idea further. So, Milvad ki harambam zal, ber hetiv taimai, v'nemuke, kidei lezachach hanefesh, al yidei riboy hamaisa. Aside the fact that the Rambam explains well the reason and this directive of giving many times in order to purify the soul through lots of deeds, okay, there's explanation that has to be done on the word milvad. Okay, so in milvad, so the first explanation of milvad is that besides the fact that you have to have alacrity, the reason for this is so that a mitzvah should not have any type of opportunity to get lost or to be pushed off to the end of the year, because sometimes it happens when you push things off, they get pushed off. So besides that, that's one way of looking at it. And the other way to look at it, besides the fact that the advantage of giving tzedakah many times, and not just one time with one amount, and so that you're not giving it all at one time, the amount that you pledge at the beginning of the year, but you should do it at least on a weekly basis.
Really?
Yeah. Now we have these monthly things where things are taking off your credit card.
Right.
Since you don't know what's kind of, you don't know what's going to happen to your possessions. So like this, that you've given it away, tzedakah, so that you know at least you've given away whatever you've given away. So reminiscent of the story of the Alter Rebbe when the Tzemach Tzedek got married. And he asked the Tzemach Tzedek, what he was playing on. How much money did his father-in-law give him as a dowry? The Samachsarik's father-in-law was the Alter Rebbe's son, the Mittler Rebbe. Mm-hmm. Married his cousin, remember? Mm. So he told him it's 5,000 rubles, which was a lot of money. And he says, what are you planning on doing with it? So he said he has a person who runs like what we would call a mutual fund, where people gave him money to invest, and he takes, because he's got a lot of money from different sources, so that kind of like weighs and gives him like a leverage to buy a lot of stuff, you know? And so he stands to make a large profit. So the Alter Rebbe pointed to the tzedakah pushy that was on his desk and said, I want you to put the whole 5,000 in that box. So he said, I'm not going to do that. So the Alter Rebbe kind of like went, for fallen. He didn't say it, but just kind of said, okay, fine. Sometime thereafter, the investments of this mutual fund director went south, and the Tzemach Tzedek lost his whole investment. Okay, these are not federally insured funds, no. Mm-hmm. He lost everything.
Yes.
Okay, so he went, he's a 16-year-old kid,
So, very young.
Yeah. So his wife was 14. So he went crying to the Alter Rebbe. So the Alter Rebbe told him, I told you to put it in the box. He said, either way, you don't have it. But like this, you would have had the mitzvah. Yeah, that's why I'm telling him the story here. It's because he don't know.
That's right.
Okay, I mean, the end of the story is I would have thought to expect more from you than an innkeeper in Podolsk.
Whoa.
Because over the story with the innkeeper in Podolsk, because he was traveling back from his rich, and he stopped in Podolsk, which is in the middle of no place. In fact, Podolsk is one of those generic terms for no place. It says, where is he from? Podolsk, he's from no place.
For Hoopitzville,
yeah. Yeah, Hoopitz, yeah. So it's another one of those, Podunk, Hoopitz,
yeah.
Mm.
Yeah.
So he asked the innkeeper, he said, came down in the morning after he had gone to woken up, he came downstairs. He said, when's the minion? So he said, there's no minion over here. So he says, what do you do for a minion? What are you talking about? He says, for Rosh Hashanah Yom Kippur, he goes to the town and he goes and participates, but otherwise he doesn't die with a minion. So the Alter Rebbe said, it's not right, you shouldn't live in a place without a minion. So the innkeeper said, "Oh, there is do. Who are you to tell me what to do?" So he said, "I'm nobody. I'm a student of the Mezuzah Magid." So he went up and he went to daven. When he came down, understood, probably when he got done davening, it was probably 4 o'clock in the afternoon, he saw a couple of wagons loaded up with stuff. So he asked the innkeeper, "What's going on?" So he said, "As a student from the Mezuzah Magid," "I'm moving to town." So he's just like that. He says, what are you going to do for a living? He said, listen, Hashem will provide for me. But he said, and he said, that a student of the Mezuzah Magid told me that I shouldn't be doing what I'm doing. I'm going to change it. So he said, I never saw him again after that. I hadn't seen him before that. And he was willing to close his entire business and move to another town just at the mere mention of the Mezuzah Magid. I expected more from my own grandson. Yeah, so... Yeah.
That's Moshe.
And this isn't Tzemach Tzedek.
This is the Tzemach Tzedek, yes.
Yeah.
Okay.
Oh, man. Young one.
No, it wasn't meant that he had the $5,000. We could have the 5,000 rubles. Okay, so you don't know what's going to be.
Wow.
So it says now, but the giving of the tzedakah, one of the things which is accomplished, and he talked about this before, is that the giving of the tzedakah purifies the soul. Hmm. As we talked about, as far as the effect of the mitzvahs in the world, all the mitzvahs in the world are given in order to make the world a better place. And each mitzvah is an expression of the limb of the king. But tzedakah is more than just the limb of the king. Tzedakah is the entirety of the king. Because when you're giving tzedakah, it's not taish that you're doing it with your right hand. Okay, it's like if there would be a comprehensive list of what body parts correspond to which mitzvahs, it'd be cool. But the mitzvah of tzedakah is not one that you do with your hand. You know, you're giving it the tzedakah with your hand. But in order for you to get that money, you had to work. And with what part of your body did you work? You worked with your whole body. So what you're giving the tzedakah with is your whole body. And thereby, since what you're doing by giving tzedakah, what happens with that tzedakah money? What does a poor person do with it?
Lives, survives.
Spends it.
Spends it, right.
Exactly.
Lives, survives.
So what happens now is he's spending it, and he is buying stuff, and then with that then he elevates. So this tzedakah that the person gave, not only is it that he's doing his mitzvah, but he's elevating all the stuff that the poor person is buying. And indeed, the entire production that caused that brought that stuff into existence,
right?
All the if it's you're talking about flowers, so all the plowing and weeding and furrowing and,
right.
and watering and harvesting and grinding and bagging
seeds, the ground,
yeah, the whole business,
the rain.
It all becomes elevated by the fact that you gave this guy tzedakah,
right?
Okay.
Residuals.
Yeah, that's definitely residuals. So that purifies on a person's soul. It's the best way to do it. And it says, it's got it very clearly written, explained in a verse. It says, Pu'ulas tzedakah l'chaim, which the literal translation is that the effect of the righteous is for life. But the word is tzedakah. It's translated in the Matsudas as tzedakah meaning righteousness. Which is okay what tzedakah is, but here he wants to say that the effect of tzedakah, the effect of giving tzedakah,
yes.
gives the person himself life. That's
life.
One of the
life.
Reasons why it life. Says more than the rich person does for the poor person
does.
Is the poor person does the poor person does for the rich person.
Right.
Remember a midrash somewhere where a person, I'm not sure it's a midrash, what you give to tzedakah is truly yours.
Yeah.
As far as in the world to come. And what you make and what you leave here is, may not be yours. So.
I think the Elder said that also.
Probably, I just can't remember the source.
Something to the effect of, you know, you would have had at least a schar in Olam Haba for the 5,000 rubles.
Oh yeah.
Now you got nothing. What are we doing by giving tzedakah is we're tapping, like with every mitzvah, we're tapping into the very essential will of Hashem. And what happens then is because it took a world to be able to do this mitzvah, whatever mitzvah it happens to be.
Yes.
Okay? Like you needed to have cows in order to have tefillin. And in order to have cows, you had to have grass. Okay? And in order to have grass, you had to have tractors for doing all the work on the tractor. And in order to have tractors, you had to have factories.
Engineers.
So, yep. Somebody had to invent the tractor.
Somebody had to make steel.
Manufacturing.
Yep.
Somebody had to come up with diesel.
Yep. All that stuff.
Planning.
Okay. And that's what all goes into the making of the tefillin.
Exactly.
Okay. So now with tzedakah, what happens? It's the same deal. You can go all the way back to Bereishis Bara with what it took to get to that person should give tzedakah. But it says because if you got money in your pocket, what do you want to do with it? You want to keep the money in your pocket. That's essentially, you know, I worked hard for this money. Okay, not that I get involved with politics, but that's the Republican line of
mentality. The other line is you didn't.
It's the more conservative line of thinking.
You didn't build that.
Yeah, you know, so I earned it and you didn't, so why should I give it to you?
Right.
Okay. We've talked about that before, what the word righteous means and why that's incorrect. So the... with the giving of tzedakah, it is indeed tapping into the will of Hashem, but what it causes is the greatest revelation of the Shekhinah down here, more than any other mitzvah. Because it is that the person is utilizing their totality. in the performance of the mitzvah. So we have a quid pro quo with God, that however much you're going to put in, comparably speaking, that's how much is Hashem is going to put in. So if you're involved with your essence, which was what the giving of tzedakah is, it involves what you are. Because how did you get that money? So that then elicits derivatives of Hashem's essence down here. In what form? So he says that, well, you have the Shekhinah. As he says, that the Galula Edom Shekhinah Imayim, that when the Jews went down to Edom, they were exiled to Edom, so the divine presence went with them. Meaning that when Edom is the epitome of klippa, when a person's involved with all kinds of extraneous nonsense, and he maintains a constant connection to Hashem, so where is his connection to Hashem when he's engaged in extraneous nonsense? Hashem is involved with extraneous nonsense.
Yeah.
Okay, we talked about this in chapter 29, when a person can't, get over the hump. So you should yell at himself and said, look what you're doing. You've schlepped Hashem into gullus. It's like taking the head of the king and sticking it in a toilet. So he... So this, that the person is doing this mitzvah, so what he's doing is elevating the Shekhinah out of the mire, because he's working with his, of what he is, meaning his essence, and he's eliciting, therefore, Hashem's essence.
Yeah.
Well, guess what? In our present state of existence, essential godliness just doesn't cut it for us. We don't have the ability to process it. Okay? So what has to happen is, so we get byproduct essential godliness, which is called the Shekhinah, divine presence. Now, most people, when you say the word Shekhinah, so they're thinking, hoo-ha. That's not, it's ankleinikai. It's not, I mean, it's not ankleinikai. It's nothing small, the Shekhinah. Because what happens, he's going to say at the end of this letter, is when the Shekhinah gets out of Edom, guess what? We get Mashiach, yellow. So, because that's the ultimate revelation of Shekhinah. You know, that's when it's lasis lo yizbarach dir b'tachtenim. That is the ultimate of making a dwelling place for Hashem, is that we see the divine presence. And again, he's emphasizing that the best path for removing the divine presence from the mire, that's M-I-R-E, not M-E-I-G-E-R.
Yeah,
okay. The mire. People listening on the web have no idea what kind of joke I just made.
Yeah.
Anyway, taking this king, who's totally verschmutzed, and elevating it such that, since he talked about in Agaris HaTshuva, our connection to Hashem is like a rope. So when you pull, he says over there, when you pull one end of the rope, so it pulls the other end of the rope. Mm-hmm. And there he's talking about that if a person goes down, so he schleps Hashem down, which I just mentioned over here. But likewise, if a person schleps himself out, through tshuva or whatever, so he schleps Hashem out too. So Maisa Hasadaka affects that there should be a revelation of the divine presence in this world. So now you got a question. I gave tzedakah today, and I didn't see that the divine presence was affected at all through my action. Okay, so what are you telling me? There's a greater tzedakah. So in Judaism, it's very simple. Because you didn't see it, doesn't mean it didn't happen. Lo ra'ina ein araya is the expression from the Gemara. You didn't see it, so what?
Exactly.
It happened. Okay? Yeah. The litmus test is not us. The litmus test is that it is.
Yes. There's no error because I can't see it.
Right. So the the joke that just passed through my head, I'm just gonna forget it because I don't mind. So the in the what do you call it? So by doing this, but us getting involved, and us doing, so that then elevates the divine presence out of this world.
Right.
And how so? You see, wait a minute, everything's always, we're talking comparability over here. Reward and quote-unquote punishment fit the deed. So where's the fitting of the deeds? This is what happens. So a poor person is referred to as a shuffle, the downtrodden.
Mm.
Okay? And it says, so he's Mechaya Ruach Shefalim. So he's elevating the spirit of the neshamas of the downtrodden, so that they're no longer down. They're now up.
Mm.
So he's caused by his act for this, these people to be elevated. So if that be what, that's what he's doing, in essence, in elevating these people, so what he gets then is an elevated level of divine presence.
Mm-hmm.
Hashem says, you're into elevating? Good, I'll elevate for you. That's the idea that when we go out of Golas, Hashem goes out of Golas. Sha'ol of Nemar v'atam achai es kulam, as it says, you enliven everything. That's the Shekhinah that's in charge of doing that. The Shekhinah, we talked about this before, when it talks about that should last as long as bardir v'tachtanim, that there should be a ikar Shekhinah v'tachtanim, I said that the main Shekhinah when God created the world was down here, and we've been working to try to reestablish that since 5,700 years ago when Adam ate from the fruit and kicked the divine presence out of our world. Okay, so we had it for a while at Sinai, but it got kicked out again with the golden calf. So it says our mission, and we don't even have a choice if should we decide to take it.
Yes,
is to elevate the divine presence out of the schmutz that it's been in for how many millennia?
Right,
and ultimately bring Mashiach, and that's what he says. As sukkas devil on efolus that offer, that Hashem enlivens everything. Which the Hashem enlivens now is called like the Sukkah of David, which fell to the ground. Which is actually referring to the base of Mikdash.
Right, okay.
So, but what it talks about over there is that, so where's the divine presence? It's sunk in the ground. As it says, when the Jews went down, when the Jews were exiled to Rome, the divine presence went with them. So now that a person is excited and they're going to elevate the souls, the people, these downtrodden masses, the Laisle Megarmic Klum, that they have nothing of their own. And everything that we give them is because of our own sense of righteousness.
Mm-hmm.
So you get excited, you enliven somebody, so Hashem says, good, you know what? I'll enliven you too.
Yes.
Because now, since it is that you're the conduit for doing Hashem's will, so it's sort of like, okay, he's doing it, so well, let him keep doing it.
Yeah.
And he says, and specifically, where is it that the people need the enlivening and the downtrodden needed the uplifting the most? Happens to be Kol Ol Chabad, the downtrodden and the poor and the oppressed of the Holy Land. Yeah. That they have, he says, Leisle Megarmi Klum. Leisle Megarmi Klum translates as it has nothing of their own. The expression usually refers to Malchus. That what is
right,
Malchus?
Right.
Malchus is a composite of all the Malchuses of all the previous nine spheres. So it has nothing of its own. It's all taken from everything else.
Mm-hmm.
Doesn't say it outright, though.
What?
He doesn't say he means it, but...
You're talking about the translation?
Yeah. Maybe it's in the translation, but say that it would... Not questioning what he means there, is that outright say those learning in Israel, this is, or something along those lines.
Yeah. So especially when the people offer voluntarily to sustain the inhabitants of the actual land of Israel as advice for those who are initiated.
Well, that's coming later. Yeah.
Yeah.
As the land of life, yeah.
As will be explained. Okay, or is enough for those who understand it already. So he says, "The Tata Lahachi is Rosh Shafalim, the Leisle Megarmi Kulum." He says, "This is the Le'elo of a Prakrit Nizdonim in Kol Lahachi Zavu Shavir Zavu Dal." Yeah, and specifically when we're talking about enlivening those people who are living in Israel, because Israel is called the Holy Land. There is something to it. You know, you have these people that say, "I'm doing a bigger mitzvah than you. I live in Israel. You live in the Golus. You're the exile over there. You know, your mitzvahs, what are they worth? They're exile mitzvahs." Uh-huh. He says, "I walk down the street, it's a mitzvah." Which is, happens to be true, by the way. It doesn't forego the fact that they still have 612 other commandments to adhere to. Mm-hmm. Okay, so there is a mitzvah to live in Israel. And so therefore, to be taking care of those who are downtrodden in Israel. So, and it's not to say, well, listen, Israel's a modern developed country. 26% of Israel is under the poverty level.
Yeah.
And there the poverty level there is much lower than it is here because things are cheaper. So.
So when you give it tzedakah for people in Israel, everything they do in Israel
gets elevated
and included.
Indeed. The kol maskel al davar gadol v'niflik hizeh, and anybody who really thinks about this, how awesome this is, yimatzet tuv tam v'das, he will find absolutely assured, 100% in a clarified manner, kama gedoyli divar hachamenu zal sha'amar hakol lefi reiv hamaisa. You have many quotes where it talks about this, like the sages say, it's all, everything goes according to the deed. That refers to the doing the deed of giving tzedakah numerous times in order to draw down this godly life. And is accomplished, therefore, each and every time you give tzedakah. Okay, so if a person has a certain amount in mind, how much they want to give, or if they even fill out a pledge card and make an announcement in shul, which concretizes the pledge. So if a person's thinking about giving a pledge, he says, "No, I'm not going to give a pledge. I'm not going to make that pledge." So he didn't do anything. But once a person says, "I pledge $1,000," so he's, even though situations may change,
it's on the books.
It's on the books. You got to give.
I know.
Okay. Even though there was a landmark case involving Adat Shalom, that when they bought the property that where they are now, so they went ahead with it, the backing of a very large donor, and in the end, the donor said, "I'm not giving you anything."
Oh.
So like he had promised them like millions. I mean, you know, Adat Shalom, it's like one of the biggest conservative temples in the country. So they maintain he still had to give. Okay, because you pledge it, you got to give.
Yeah.
Okay, which is, according to Halacha, actually true.
Right.
Okay, but he wasn't evidently interested in Halacha, and it went to court. Hmm. And they sued each other, and Adat Shalom lost. Because a guy makes a pledge, doesn't mean he has to keep it.
Wow.
Could have been joking.
Oops.
Okay, he could have just doing it to, like, you know, he wanted to be a show-off. I also, you know, who's contributing to Yisker? I'm giving 100 times Chai, you know. Just like, so, it could be just to be braggadocious.
Yeah.
Wow. Try that at an auction.
Yeah. Get your head kicked in.
That doesn't make sense. It's like being at an auction. It's a public thing. You're surprised it went that way.
I think it was a U.S. Supreme Court. I don't think it was the Michigan Supreme Court.
Still.
So it's irreversible. Guy makes a pledge. Doesn't mean a thing until you get the money in your hand.
It's not an allocation.
I know that now. Had plenty of people who said, "Oh yeah, nice, we're getting a building. Good. I'm going to give you. I'll even give you this much." I haven't, you know, I'm still waiting. What does it mean according to the Rambam that he's purifying his soul? So it says in the Zohar, that what's your soul, what's your life, what's giving you your life is the divine presence, the Shrina. So that's one of the reasons why it is that the Alter Rebbe always refers to the Nefesh HaLakith in the feminine form, or for the most part.
Okay.
Because it's an expression of Shechina, which is feminine. Shechina nikras nefesh, ki hu chayenu v'nafshenu, because the soul, the Shechina is our life. It is our soul. What's your soul made out of? What does your soul look like? It's like Hashem. Uksiv ki shachala aretz nafshenu, as it says that our soul is bent down low to the dust. That's why our sages say that how great is tzedakah? Tzedakah is so great that it causes the geula to come. I don't know exactly how long it's going to take at the amount of tzedakah that we're giving, but that's what it says. And what happens once Mashiach comes, the next, the last thing, I guess one of the last things Mashiach has to do, is he has to make stand up from the dirt, a little bit at a time, until Mashiach comes, and then it's sort of like, it's all over, everybody just has to get up.
What do you mean by that?
When we're doing a little bit now, and every little bit you're doing is increasing the divine presence's...
Correct.
Divine presence's presence.
Right.
Okay, until Mashiach is going to come, then at that point it doesn't matter what you do, because it's done.
Okay.
And everything's going to be accomplished there.
Right.
Out here. Okay, what time we got? Let's save chapter 22 for next time. We'll start at 22.
Very good. Very good.